Do you have a jade egg practice, or are you interested in exploring what the jade egg is about? Today we're speaking with Saida Desilets, who really is responsible for rediscovering the wisdom of the jade egg and bringing it back into popularity. Saida is going to speak with us today about research, about the right technique, and the power behind a jade egg practice, as well as what it is and her own experience with it. We're going to be speaking about tight, toned, and dexterous vaginas. It's very educational, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us. I'm Jenna Ward, founder of the School of Embodied Arts, and thrilled to bring with you today Saida Desilets. I know that you, Saida, are really totally devoted to women creating their most succulent selves and their most succulent lives. And one of the key vehicles for that journey, I know for you and for a lot of the women that you teach and that you're in community with, is the jade egg practice. And as really the founder of the modern jade egg practice, I understand you've been doing it for over 20 years. And so I wanted to kick things off by asking you a personal question. How did you first come across this ancient wisdom within your own personal journey? How did you first come across the jade egg?
Right. Isn't it a strange thing to come across? So what it
kind of is.
It's weird. It just is weird. We just got to admit that it's weird and then we can go from there.
Okay.
So what happened was, I, as a young woman, was brought up with a lot of erotic innocence and everything was intact, had a beautiful childhood and, didn't have a lot of things that a lot of women have in childhood. So in that way, I might have been unprepared for some of the ways of the world. So when I was 20, I was journeying through Central America and the Caribbean and ended up being raped by a man that I'd taken on as a lover and was diagnosed with 2 weeks to live after that incident. And so my desire to live was in my face in that moment. When that moment came, when the doctor gave me that verdict, I was like, is that my truth or not? And obviously it wasn't, because I'm still here, and or 2 weeks is a different length of time than I thought. So what happened is then I went on a very profound journey, because as a young woman, I had no orientation. There, at that time as well, there wasn't a lot of, women's embodiment stuff and empowerment things. Like, there was a little, but more on the pagan witchy side of things, but not so much mainstream. And so I was on a quest, an unknown and unnamed quest, a quest that was just purely my own being pulling me forward to integrate the experience I'd just had and to find out where is thriving from this point forward. And that's when I came across the work of Montak Chia in a kind of an alternative bookstore. And for whatever reason, I was attracted to his books versus all the other books that were there. I brought them home very excited to my boyfriend, and he, as a scientist, he was working, researching out of UBC, University of British Columbia. He took one look at them and would keep literally like a 5 foot radius around it. You never go anywhere closer than 5 feet to those books. He was just like, keep those away from me. And so I did not actually pursue immediately the wisdom in those books till I left that relationship. And when I did, something interesting happened. I was very drawn to it. There was something about the wisdom of really connecting and making our sexuality something like a life force that we can harness and engage with. I was like, what is that? All the language was so bizarre to me. I had just not known this language. And as I attempted to practice the things in this book, my body rebelled. I actually remember the first time I put the egg in, it went flying across the room, because traditionally the practice is taught standing in horse stance, which is like a martial arts stance. So if you can imagine, like, wide open, and this is your first time with your egg and you're just supposed to shove it up there and then like pump your pelvis. So this happens and the egg goes flying and like smashes into the wall opposite the room. And I was like, okay, that was interesting. I think I'm going to go have some tea and do something else. So it began there, but there was something about the egg itself that kept calling me. But the practice, as it was being, in the book shared with me, I didn't resonate with at all. So the journey then was to trust my own body. And I think this is a lot. I don't know your work, but I'm just intuitively feeling that you assist women to really genuinely feel and trust that which emerges from their own, coming from their own selves, that they don't need to be externally validated. Yes. And so that's what was happening, was somehow the erotic innocence and the erotic intelligence that was very deep in my being, had not been domesticated out of me, was meeting the ideas and ideals of an ancient practice, but translating it into something my body actually wanted to do, which was the result of my life's work.
Wow. Such a beautiful experience, and from which so much, so many jade egg practices and practitioners have really exploded around the world. And it's really been such a wave, at times controversial. And so I know that with this growing momentum of the power of the jade egg and its awakening, as you described, that innate sensual and erotic genius that had awoken within you, I know it's been awakening women around the globe now, but most importantly, I also understand that you have a PhD and have studied and have researched the, I think it's the psychosexual aspects of this practice and associated with the jade egg, specifically in women. And this is really unique because it's a combination of really ancient practices modernized and studied for highly intelligent, ambitious, modern women, which is absolutely everybody listening to this conversation. So I'm interested to hear from you, what, from this scientific background and from this research experience, can you share with us a little bit of what that research found and illuminated about this really ancient practice for the modern woman?
Yes. And I don't know, you're just turning me on. So I'm just having such a good time with your beauty and your intelligence and just your deliciousness. So thank you. It's really fun to be here. So the research, the most important piece I want to say about that, it's the women themselves, the women that I had the pleasure to be with, to hold space for, to invite into a possibility. And these are women around the world. So I was literally teaching maybe 20 weekends a year in 14, 15 different countries every year. So around the globe. And there's something unique about each place I went, and yet there was something connecting all the women. And it was the desire to just feel at home in themselves. Mm. So their experience, their feedback in live settings really influenced the lens from which I created the study. I wanted to understand how a technique or my method, like which facets of it were creating the most positive lasting transformation for women on a psychosexual level. So let me define what that is. So psychosexual assumes that your psyche, your mind, your feeling nature is not separate from your soma or your physicality, that everything is completely enmeshed and inseparable. And I have found this to be absolutely true, especially in women's genitals, that there's this profound link between our felt nature, our beliefs, our ideas about reality, and our how we relate with the physicality of our sexuality. And actually even the health of the tissues is directly corresponds with how we relate with the rest of ourselves. So it's quite a beautiful lens to look at women through. Mm. And what I realized is that women were not just sexual bodies here to like birth children, that although we are defined that way in many parts of the world still to this day, we are much more than that. So the research saw and named that the majority of the planet is functionally oriented when it comes to sex. That means you do this thing and you get this result. And I have to say that that's actually interesting, right? Everybody wants to know the great secret to get this thing, and we're all hunting for the best technique. And even I, in those days of that study, was looking for that. I was not prepared for the results that emerged. So what happened is one morning I get a call from the statistician, the guy that does all the math and the stats, just to review it all, because I'm like, that's not my forte, so let's just have a professional look at it. And he said, Saida, I realize that you're looking to prove which technique is like the gold, which is the one that is the most responsible for the most profound transformation. So what I'm about to say, you need to understand that it's mathematically, statistically viable, but it's not what you're looking for. And I was like, oh my God, what is he going to tell me? And he said, women are having lasting positive transformation even when they don't practice. And it blew me away. It actually shattered this whole, all the training I'd had up until then. So you have to imagine this is in 2008. So it's not that long ago when I got that piece. And I've been practicing and assuming things for years in different orientation. That orientation just shattered with that one result in that moment. And what it left me with was, oh, wow. A woman's erotic intelligence is so profound that that's where the power is. The power is not in the egg and it's not in the technique. It's in the woman recognizing when she is at home in herself, she makes that choice every day, and that she has innate genius within her and that she can trust that. When she even just knows that that's a possibility and she doesn't even do anything else, she shifts her reality. So that changed how I was teaching. Then I came into sharing much more with a very deep reverence of women's erotic intelligence. And then I started to speak loudly up kind of against the majority of the wave that was happening, because what I'm seeing in Tantra and Taoism and conscious sexuality, even in what I call the Mick Egg movement, it's like drive-through egg movement, is everyone is functionally oriented. You use this special crystal and you get this awesome result. There's nowhere in there that we are honoring that women are intelligent. There's nowhere in there that we're honoring that it's the woman who is powerful, not the teacher, the egg, the technique. And there's nowhere in there where we're reflecting back to the woman that your transformation is solely your own. I cannot take responsibility for it. The egg can't, the technique can't. But the choice that a woman makes to make that important is more powerful than anything I can even say in this moment. So that's why I speak so strongly. Even now, there's a lot of teachers, I met some at a conference, who still have this very old school functional model without bringing in the meaning model to balance it out. We do need things to do. It's like learning dance. We need the steps, right? We want to salsa. We got to know the salsa steps. You want to practice jade egg work, then you need to know the jade egg practice. But here's what I found through the work of my ambassador program, which is where I train professionals to teach this work to women. I brought in other people who were not aware of the jade egg practice, osteopaths, gynecologists, pelvic pain specialists. I had them examine my techniques and I had their feedback. And it's amazing because it was affirming. They're all like, oh my God, this is incredible. But two, there were refinements they offered that are not available to the public. That if a woman doesn't have like a big yes yoni who's just ready to go all the time, but maybe she has some pain, maybe she has the yoni's like a no, maybe there's tightness more than openness. There, all of these different issues arise. We're not the same. We're all very unique in this. How you use the egg would be very, very different. How you would even breathe would be different. I only just learned this in continuing the research in the last year. Mm-hmm. And now, because, as you mentioned, the controversy, I am now part of an IRB approved, you can't be published in medical journals if you don't have IRB approval. So you can do all the studies you want, but without IRB approval, you will not be published in medical journals. So we've just gotten IRB approval to do a medical study, the first ever, with the world's leading expert in vaginal microbiome. Now, you might not know what that is, but within us, there's environments that create health and vitality. And so this exists in our intestine, in our mouths, in our vagina, kind of everywhere. So she's a specialist with the vagina. So she's going to specifically look at the impact of using real nephrite jade on the microbiome of vaginas. Mm. It's incredible. It's never been done before. It's never even been like considered before. And so that's very exciting. It's leading edge. I don't have the results to tell you in this interview at this time, but maybe the next time we talk, I will have them.
Stay tuned. That's so exciting to hear. And I really congratulate you for doing the research. I come from a clinical background in conventional medicine. No easy feat. So thank you for making that contribution to the greater feminine empowerment pathway. And I also really resonate with what you expressed in terms of the real power coming from the woman within and the woman saying yes, as well as providing a really powerful, clear, transparent, and proven map into the ultimate inner destination that she's actually interested in creating for herself. And so this brings me to a really poignant leadership question that I actually wanted to ask you. It's clear that you are one of the world authorities on the jade egg. It's such a big contribution to make. And I know that you, without a doubt, would absolutely be practicing what you preach. And so how does your jade egg practice, how does your inner erotic genius, how does this act as fuel for making decisions and for stepping forward in leadership in bigger and bigger ways? How are the two connected? Perhaps for the embodied women listening to this who are wanting to really create businesses and leadership models in a very feminine and succulent way.
I know
from you, what's the relationship for you between the two? And you can't answer with it's everything. Give us more juice than that.
I hope that's not what I'm going to tell you. A beautiful question, a very important question, actually, because a lot of my work now in the world is empowering other women, embodied leaders, to teach my work, because now I'm in the place where I want to do more research and influence the influencers. So how do we get to that place? How do we come to a place where our leadership isn't forced, isn't aggressive in the sense of we're just forcing people to follow what we have to say, isn't belligerent, you know, where it's evocative and respectful of all the sovereign beings that we are speaking with? How do we do that? And the way that I relate that with my practice is essentially what this practice does is allow the individual, I'll just talk about myself for now, allows myself to really come in contact with my own sexual sovereignty. And I specify it to that because sovereignty is one thing, but sexual sovereignty is very important to me. What that means is, first of all, I don't allow any person, place, institution, government to have influence on the choices that I make with my body. My body is the only thing that has always been with me and will always be with me until I die. This is my one spot on the whole planet that is truly my own. So to really claim that is important. We are socially conditioned to move away from understanding that, to even be at home in our bodies. Most of us are disembodied. We leave the body. It's an uncomfortable place. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of abuse that's happened. Even if we've never had abuse, our sensitivity, our porosity, this is something I've learned by taking women into the wilderness. The pain of the earth at this time is so excruciating that for a lot of us, we want to disassociate. So part of this practice is coming home, again, I said earlier, to ourselves. It's accepting that we're actually born sexually sovereign, but if we don't claim it, then someone else's agenda will fit that space. Someone else will determine how we live our lives. If that is true, are we really free and are we really leading? The only way that I know to lead is to walk my talk, and to actually come from a deep place within myself that is raw and real and unfiltered. I don't know another way right now. I think I'm observing a lot of leadership that's belligerent. It's based on ideals and mental constructs. Probably the greatest damage we are doing right now to the planet is being really obsessed with mental constructs. That we think that that's it, that this is reality, that is not reality. So this practice, what it does, it's so gorgeous because it's almost forcing us in a way, because we're socialized out of it, to start to feel that we have a body. And then we start to understand that our sensuality is necessary. Our sensuality is literally how we make sense of reality. That's what sensuality is. It's been hijacked by the porn industry and the tantra industry. But the living truth is everything is sensual. Flowers are incredibly sensual. Bees are sensual. Everything is sensual because everything is making sense of reality through their own way, through their own system. We need this. If we're going to lead, we have to be able to sense everything and understand it, not from a mental construct, from a deep instinctual intuitive place. The only way we're going to be comfortable with that is if we have a regular way to push everything away, to come in and listen. And you know, it's fun. It's not one of those dry practices where you're just going, hello, and there's crickets going on and you're like, this is super boring. It's actually incredible because it's so evocative and so engaging, because the invitation is to feel all the subtleties of your deep aliveness and to start building a profound relationship and trusting that so fully. Because I can tell you, humanity survived this long not because of our mental constructs. That's very recent. Humanity survived because of its interrelationship, its deep intimacy with life itself. And we, for some reason, have taken ourselves out of that web of life as if we're like some superior species. But that outing ourselves is actually very damaging. So this practice, without saying all of that really, is actually linking us back into having profound intimate relationship with all of life, because we are part of that. So what I have found for myself is the deeper I am in that, the truer that is for me, the more intimate I am with the people I serve. I feel them and they feel me. There's not veils anymore. And then I might have some ideas that I'm playing with, but I deliver them with this deep love that you're intelligent and you're sovereign. What do you think? How does that land? What is your she? That's how I like to call our body, our she, our animal, our she. How does she respond to that? Is it true? And if it's not, then rawr, right? It's just like, here we are in a vivacious time where I really believe that a turned on woman is a force of nature. And the only thing that's going to transform this planet right now is a whole bunch of lit up women from like inside out in every way. Now, I love what you're doing because there's emotional impeccability in your work. So a lot of the psychosexual work is to, if you want access to the joy and the enthusiasm and the creativity and all of this gorgeousness, we must feel everything. Numbness numbs everything. So either we unnumb and we go, okay, here's my big human spectrum, or we stay in that numb place and then we don't access our genius. So having leaders who embody that is actually the only way for real transformation. Whatever the message that your each woman in your community is desiring to bring forward, if you are living that, that is your breath. It's your, each day you're like, oh, I get to, this is so amazing. Then you know you're on the true pulse of your message, and you know that you'll serve in the most gorgeous and honest way. That is embodied leadership. And we need that. The planet is starving for it. Humanity is starving for it. We're so sick of people trying to like use fluffy words or belligerence or fear tactics to inspire us into a new world. It's not going to work. That's the old paradigm. So I'm very, very excited for the work that you're doing as well. I think the other thing I want to praise you, it's bringing tears to my eyes, but I want to praise you for your inclusivity, because we can't do this alone. Women, we've got to stop competing. We've got to stop believing that there's scarcity and there's not enoughness, and we've got to hoard our little thing and we've got to prove that everyone else is wrong. No. We need to just stand in our sovereignty, in our living truth, and look around and go, wow, I love what she's doing. I'm going to extend my heart and my energy to this person say, yes, do it. I've got your back. We may do totally different things, but that's what's needed. One thing doesn't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And it is an old paradigm, ladies, to compete and to be catty and to, you know, covet these little things. It's not our nature. We are lionesses. And yes, we can be fierce about what is ours and take a stand for it because it's come from our depths. I'm not saying that don't protect your IP or your ideas, but what I am saying is in that sovereign place as a queen of your world, be generous, be open, join other women who think in different ways because that's how the transformation will happen. And I can say for me, this has been very, very true. And I'm not necessarily joining forces with everyone in my genre, but I'm now joined forces with a leading medical doctor. I've joined forces with different leaders in different fields, women who are like changing how business is done, women who are changing, you know, even how like meditation is done, but from a feminine perspective of a feminine lineage that hasn't been public, whatever they're doing. In their leadership, I'm just in a wow. And I want some of that. And I want community like that. And community and tribe is essential. So I want to congratulate you for building this tribe and for being open and bringing other people in and just allowing the women to discern for themselves. I think that I'm going to give you a moment to speak now because I'm like really impassioned. I'm like, rah. But this allowing discernment is so beautiful.
It is my absolute honor. And I really see that as you speak, you paint a really powerful map that so many of the wonderful experts have echoed, which is that this numb, disembodied state is all full of lack and of not enough, and competition is a natural byproduct of that state. Scarcity is a natural byproduct. And as you pulled in your beautiful magnolia flower, that actually it is back into this body through the senses and all the way down into the sensuality and the power that you so clearly spoke of. And I actually think that it's true, no matter whether the women who are listening are leaders in a feminine way or in their families or in their communities or just in their bedroom with their lovers at home, it actually is the same across the board when you are bringing your full self, your full capacity to engage with this. That's really where the magic is. And I have a personal sense that the ways of operating that can and will unfold for women in collaboration, for women in friendship, for women in connection, a lot of these ways of unfolding, they're not known to us yet. A lot of us, and I know a lot of women that are listening to us and who are part of this community are here because for many of us, the path of this awakening within this body and this stepping into more of our passions, it can be an incredibly lonely one. And all of this is changing. And I, like you, am so effing excited to see what transpires and what unfolds on the other side of that. And it's a real honor to be on the cusp and on the wave of this with all of the women who are embodied women listening to this juicy conversation. So I want to divulge for a second, and I just want to get really super practical because we've kind of piqued everyone's interests with the promise and the idea of how this jade egg can really be used. And I know that the spectrum of its application is enormous, but I want to just get really clear and hear from you what you feel are the top few benefits of women. Like why, if you need more, why should we be using a jade egg? Why should this become part of our core embodiment practice within ourselves as leaders, as mothers, as women at this time on the earth?
Awesome. Love it. My first why is whenever we are externally looking for completeness or fulfillment, we will always have to somehow negotiate. So we're bargaining in those exchanges. In your own deep intimacy with yourself, which is basically the invitation of this practice, is to take yourself on as your own most profound, beautiful, ecstatic partner, lover, best friend. And that relationship won't ever go away. And it's evolutionary. So you don't have to bargain any facet of yourself to have this. And I can say, ladies, to the extent that you have this intimacy with yourself is how you will relate externally. I know that for me, I was married 3 times. So I can see my journey from not knowing myself, all my desires determined by external forces. I got that in the first marriage, not fulfilling whatsoever. Second one was more of a practical marriage for a visa reason. But the third one, by the time I met the man that I'm with now, we've been together since 2007, probably. Yeah, I think that's right. And what I noticed is he came at a time when I had been deeply in right relationship with myself and fully immersing myself in what the living truth of solo cultivation really is. I continue to this day to have that practice. I must anchor in my center. This is because we are conditioned to always be externally oriented. You can see that with all social media. It's a very externally oriented reflection. So number one reason, your own empowerment, for you to actually feel who you really are, your self, your sovereign self, you need to spend time with yourself. But not just like random time, deep time, time of like fascination and fun and delight and awakening. On a physical level, doing the practices when they're done correctly brings a sense of vitality and aliveness that isn't available to most women, because we're not taught at a young age to awaken our sexuality, to bring consciousness to this part of our body. Instead, we're actually socially conditioned to disassociate. So this practice rebuilds those neural pathways. You'll actually become more enlivened. And to this day, I've not reached my limit. Like, I'm just like, wow, what is that? Like, it just feels like it's its own yoni verse. You know, it's its own space where our sexuality, our sensuality, our physicality is evolving. It does. Now, a lot of us are afraid of aging. I do a lot of talks on sexuality and ageism. Here's the truth. There is no age to sexuality, like there is no age to a beating heart. When that stops, you stop. When sexuality stops, you actually stop too. You stop living. So it's not an issue of age. It's an issue of connection. And I have seen women all the way into their mid-70s completely reclaim their physical sexuality, rejuvenate so fully. They need boyfriends that are 20-something years younger because they're so vivacious and so turned on. So if they can do it, we definitely can do it. So there's physical benefits. The resiliency, maybe with this microbiome, will prove finally that there is an actual factual resiliency. Because I know I used to get a lot of yeast and bladder infections, and I don't now. Now, part of that is addressing the emotionality of what's behind that. And the second part is actually the physical vitality, because this practice brings more blood flow and lymph into the actual tissues. Another benefit is if you've had surgeries in this area, I had a part of my cervix cut out. You would never know. My cervix fully regrew herself and has no scars. And so this, I believe, is due to the extra circulation that happens as a side effect of this practice. So those are some of the really, I think, most direct side effects for that practice. And I have to say, because I've taught so many women, going from like one octave of orgasm to a full symphony of orgasm is every woman's birthright. And how that activates is not really in the current sexual climate. So time with yourself, engaging with your erotic genius, allowing her to lead, you building a deep trust, you building the neural pathway so suddenly you're feeling things more and sensing things more. Now you're awakening different ways of which pleasure can travel through your body. Why is this important? The body biologically is designed to function optimally when you're running pleasure, and it actually shuts down when you're in stress. So if you want that success life and that vitality and all these things that you desire, pleasure isn't frivolous. It actually needs to be foundational. in whatever way your own genius is drawing you towards. So it might be the jade egg practice, maybe it's something else. Whatever the something else is, my only request is that it's something that reorients you as you, as the place of power, and not whatever the thing is.
Amen to that. And so one final point to clarify, because it's a topic that is a bit of a niggle of mine. A lot of individuals and women get the idea that actually it's the weight of the pelvic, it's the weight of the egg that's actually toning and tensing the vaginal canal and the area around our pelvis so that we can be tighter for our lovers. And this is something I know I've personally heard from a lot of my lovers, like, oh, I love when you're so tight. So I know that you have some words to share with us about actually, what is this doing? Is it about strengthening? Is it about toning? Is it about lifting things with our vagina? Is it about how tight we are? Can you just speak to the jade egg as it relates to this topic? Because I'd love everyone to hear your wisdom on clarifying this point.
Ooh, you like touched a little place of fire. This is not just my opinion. Anyone who's incredibly educated around women's sexual health and pelvic health will also have this opinion. If they do not, they're not up to date with the latest and greatest. Okay, so that's, I just want to clarify right now that across the board, people who really know what's going on would agree with what I'm about to say. So too much tone will actually create a lot of pelvic issues. In fact, one of my friends who's a specialist in this, she has a clinic in Manhattan. Majority of her clients are young yoga students and Pilates and athletes. Mm-hmm. All these young women suffer incredible pelvic pain. Some of them already have stage 3 and 4 prolapses. There's nothing we can do for those types of prolapses. So pretty devastating. So prolapsing is not an age-related issue. It can be, but it's actually a structural issue. And her main comment is that women are exercising themselves into sexual dysfunction, into incontinence, into being unable to have orgasm. So if we, unfortunately, tightness, I guess, was hijacked by the porn industry and then leaked into mass media, and then women want to impress and they want to keep. And if our bodies are numb and we're not feeling, and I have to say that the potency of most men these days is actually very low. So those two in combination, it makes sense that uber tight vaginas would be necessary, because they're going to probably be doing friction-based sex, which is just a lot of thrusting. And the only way that feels good is if something has contact with something. So I want to do a little experiment with all of you to prove my point. Don't worry, you don't need to have sex right now.
We can if you want.
I want you to make a vagina. So you kind of close your fist, but you leave like an opening, and then a penis. And I want you to feel this part of your hand as the penis goes in and out. So you're going to literally do this and have it as a sensory experience, like feel what's happening, both to the penis and to yourself. Great. So just get and make a note of how that feels. Now, imagine we add a little skill to our lovemaking. So we're not just doing this the whole time. And both you and or your partner learn to spiral. Now notice how it feels when the penis spirals in and out. What's actually happening in the tissues? How much more of the tissues are we touching and massaging for both partners? Now I want you, this is the third, this is the truth of jade egg practice. The penis won't move, but suddenly the whole of the vagina decides to move and participate and play and notice what happens to the inside of this area. Suddenly stimulation is 100% for both partners. So that right there shows you that if you're just tight, you have no dexterity. And if you're just tight, the only option is this, which is very little sensation, actually creates more numbing. I mean, some of it is fun. But I mean, if it's the only thing that's available, it's a limited version of what's available. So we have three aspects we must pay attention to. Tone is one of them, but tone isn't tightness. So I want you to imagine your pelvic floor like a trampoline. It has to be able to move. With every breath you take, your pelvic floor is breathing. Every breath. If you have too much tightness, the pelvic floor cannot breathe, less blood flow, impinging on nerves, pain, dysfunction, prolapsing, it all begins there. The other piece is, when does orgasm happen? It is a literal question. When does orgasm happen? It happens in the moment we actually let go. So surrender is a very deep part of feminine orgasm and feminine sexuality. We must be able to soften. And so the secret of the egg practice is not just to squeeze. It's actually to train the body to open, literally open, spread open. I mean, this is a skill we should teach young women, and we just don't. The third piece that is not talked about, which is essential, is the pelvic floor is not just one thing. There's layers to it. And so dexterity is possible. To literally be able to squeeze, if you had your finger inside these three different areas, that skill alone enervates. I mean, it's building all these new neural pathways of pleasure. Huge. Two, as a woman, it's lovely to have some mastery in the bedroom. It's lovely to just be able to go, you know what? You lie back. I'm going to take care of some business for a moment. And you have this way of breathing and moving that's subtle. It's incredibly pleasurable for both partners. It's incredibly satisfying. If there's been any issues or trauma, these practices, if you're just always tightening, imagining what you're doing and what you're saying to your own essence, it is not safe to let go. It is not safe for me to exist in a relaxed place. So that's why I think I'm such an intense advocate against the McEgg movement, against women too quickly hanging a lot of things or using heavy eggs. Because the average woman, her pelvis is already atrophied. By the time you're in your 20s, you've been sitting for 20 years. Your pelvis starts to atrophy. So if you can imagine that, of course we need a little tone, but what actually holds the egg in is not, when I wear my egg all the time, I jump on the trampoline, I do all kinds of things with it. I'm never squeezing it. I'm never holding it. Something else holds it in place. I'm not going to reveal that secret here. But in the development, if you take the time to do this right, that something will develop and it will hold that egg in place. So it's a little secret, but it's almost too much knowledge for this particular interview. So I just wanted to say thank you for asking that question and for really allowing me to voice the truth about it, because a lot of people don't want to hear. They just want the quick fix, and it does take time, but we're investing in lifelong lovemaking, lifelong vitality. Mm. My partner is still in shock at the vitality and vivaciousness of my body. He's like, I always thought I would have to like end up like getting a way younger woman just to keep up with me, but it's not like that. So our bodies can have that. Now they do evolve and change. You're not going to look like a teenager your whole life. That's a good thing. And your sexuality is evolutionary, so it's not going to feel like it did when it's hormonally driven. So there's certain stages that we change. But all the women I know who've entered the power stage of life, which is menopause, have even more powerful and intense sexuality than when they were younger. So that's what you have to look forward to, actually, when you choose that.
It's so beautiful. And it really illuminates the jade egg practice and the sensual and sexual practice as a woman as really a skill that we all can learn, a skill that we never got taught in sex ed, and a skill that's actually available to all of us to cultivate. And like all skills, absolutely huge rewards on the other side. This has been an incredibly juicy, diverse, and illuminating conversation. And I'm so grateful for your time, Saeed. Thank you so much for all that you shared today.
Thank you, Jenna. You're amazing. I just love your beauty, and to meet your community is such an honor.
Thank you so much for joining us, Saida. For those of you listening, if you'd like some more resources, head along to jennaward.co/jadeegg, JadeEgg, where Saida has some really amazing downloadable free resources for you that we'd love to share. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode with the School of Embodied Arts, and thank you so much again to Saida for sharing your immense feminine wisdom.